Mubalik for you, it's my prayer. Oh, Mubalik for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved prophet, the last and final messenger, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, whoever sent salat upon me 100 times, Allah Almighty writes between his eyes that he is free from hypocrisy and the fire of hell. And he will place him among the martyrs on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Look at the great rank and the status of those individuals who recite salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam on a regular basis. How long does it take to read 100 times through the park? How long? 5 minutes? 7 minutes? But keep in mind, whenever you recite Durood e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, recite it with love and affection and full focus. Your mind shouldn't be wandering here and there. When you're reciting Durood e Pak, pay full focus towards Durood e Pak, inshallah. Increase your love. May Allah Almighty give us the ability to fix certain time in our daily schedule where we can designate this time, this slot for reciting Durood e Pak, inshallah. Then you will see the blessings itself, inshallah. For now, inshallah, please recite Durood e Pak at least once with love and joy. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, today we have a very important topic that we will be discussing. But before this, let me remind myself and those who are watching me that whenever you perform a permissible act, you should pause and reflect upon its purpose. In fact, you should ask yourself why you're doing this. In fact, we are also reminded and encouraged through the prophetic traditions, the Ahadith Mubarakah, and I want to quote one of them as well, in which our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam encourages us to make some good intentions before you perform permissible acts to clarify the purpose of what you are doing. There is a beautiful narration which is mentioned. I want to share the part of the Hadith Pak, Niyatul Mu'mini Khayrun Min Amali, which means the intention of a believer is better than his action. Therefore, before you perform any permissible act, you should pause and reflect upon the purpose. In other words, ask yourself, why are you doing this? Today, you are listening to this bayan so that you can gain Islamic knowledge. Inshallah, today we will be discussing a very important part that affects many of us, and maybe those who are watching, you are directly or indirectly, you will face this part in your life, inshallah. So please listen to this bayan attentively throughout so that you can get the full message that is being delivered, so that you can take note of these, so you can implement this in your life as well, inshallah. Also, whilst you are listening to the bayan, try to free yourself from any other activities. So if you got your phones with you, or if there's other people around you, so please, now get everyone involved and listen to the bayan throughout the bayan, inshallah. In fact, straight after the bayan, we will be reciting the weekly salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also we will do the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala and then the collective dua. So please stay tuned all the way, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, marriage is a sacred bond which holds great significance in Islam. It's something that we face in a certain part in our life. For example, if you grew from the childhood to teenage, and then from teenage, as you step in the adulthood, then this is a chapter that we face in our lives. Some people get married as soon as they become adults, from 18, 19 year olds, or some people marry between from 20 to 30. Some people get married later on. But this is something that we face. Now, as you can see yourself, as children, now we come from parents, haven't we? So parents are married. So marriage is something that is a very important part in a Muslim's life. And that's what we're going to be discussing today. Let me start off with a very beautiful incident. This took place in the streets of Madinatul Munawwara. Subhanallah. Sayyiduna Aslam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he states that the second Khalifa of Muslims, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyiduna Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyiduna Umar, who is known as the Umar the Great, Subhanallah. Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a beautiful habit. He used to walk around in the streets of Madinatul Munawwara in the night. Subhanallah. And not just walk around, you know, like as people will do, especially in this culture today, to, you know, in the summer period, people walk around in the nights, don't they, for a walk. But this walking around was something different. This walking around was to walk around in the streets of Medina and look for the needy people, so that Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu could fulfill their needs. Subhanallah, it's a beautiful habit, beautiful practice, that definitely is something that we should all look to, you know, to practice in our lives as well. So the routine, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went on a night journey. And on this particular night, Sayyidina Aslam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who's narrating this event, he was also part of this journey. He said, we were walking together and suddenly Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu stopped at a house. And they could hear someone talking from inside of the house. A voice could be heard. A lady was saying to the daughter, daughter, mix some water with the milk. Hearing this, the girl replied, Mom, are you not aware of what Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu has ordered? And remember, whilst the daughter is saying these words, the Amir al-Mu'mineen is outside hearing these words. Subhanallah, look at that. What a coincidence. So this daughter was talking to the mother and said, Mom, no, why are you telling me to mix water with the milk? The mother said, that daughter, what did our Khalifa ordered? What did Amir al-Mu'mineen announced? The girl replied, Amir al-Mu'mineen has announced that nobody should mix water with the milk. So this was the hukum, the order of the Khalifa, the leader of the believers. And now the mother was giving the opposite. Now he was instructing to do the opposite. So the daughter thought, what's going on here? Our Khalifa, the leader of the Muslims, are ordering us to not mix water with the milk. Now, hearing this, the mother said, look, daughter, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is not watching us at this moment. How will he know whether you have added any water to the milk? Go and add some water to the milk. So the old lady, she was persistent. Upon hearing this, the girl said, and this is the message that I want to relate today. The reply of this girl, it was so beautiful, like something that we should really listen to it carefully and apply this in our lives as well and take lessons from it. The girl replied, by Allah, I cannot obey him in his presence and then disobey him not in the absence. So whatever the ruler has told me to do, I shouldn't I shouldn't obey him in front of him, but then when I'm behind him or I'm in the back, in the absence, and I pretend to do the opposite. No, this is not right. Now, when I'm in front of the Khalifa, I'm listening to the orders. When I'm not in front of the Khalifa, then I'm going against his order. This is just not right. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu cannot see me at this time. But my merciful Rabb, my Creator, my Allah is watching me. I will never mix water with the milk. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Aslam radiallahu ta'ala anhu states, after hearing these words of this daughter, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to me, O Aslam, take a note of this house. And then he radiallahu ta'ala anhu continued to travel in the streets of Madinatul Munawwara. Then later on, when the morning arrived, Subhanallah, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu called me and said, "O Aslam, go to that house and find out who lives there. Also find out whether that girl is married or not." Subhanallah, Sayyidina Aslam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he further says that as per the instruction of the Khalifa, the leader of the believers, I went to the house and asked about them. I came to know that in the house lives a widow and her daughter. And her daughter is also not married. So once I gained this information, I related back to Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and made him aware. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Bring all of my sons to me." When all of his sons had gathered, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to them, "Do any of you want to get married?" From all the sons of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Amir al-Mu'mineen said, "Do you want to get married? Or is there any of you who wish to get married?" Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Sayyidina Abdul Rahman radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said, "We are all married. We are already married." However, Sayyidina Asim bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he stood up and expressed his desire to get married. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent a message of proposal to that woman on behalf of his son, which she accepted happily. Subhanallah. Thus, this marriage of Sayyidina Asim radiallahu ta'ala anhu took place of that woman, took the daughter of that woman. And then, subhanallah, this marriage, one of the blessings of this marriage was that in the generation that the daughter, that young daughter, gave a birth to one boy. This boy who became a big leader of the Muslims. He became known as the Umar the Second, or the Second Umar. His name is Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah, just looking at this, those people who are aware of the lifestyle of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, now would be amazed how a great personality, a great individual who lived and ruled in Islam, alhamdulillah. But look at the parents, look how pious the parents were, especially the mother, how honest she was, and how much fear of Allah she had in her heart. Subhanallah, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is mentioned that due to the fear of Allah that this lady possessed, this was the root cause that, you know, touched Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he made that decision. This woman is not a noble lady. This daughter is not a noble daughter. She has so much fear of Allah Ta'ala in her. She is so pious. She is so amazing that she had all the opportunity to mix the water with the milk, but she didn't do it. Yeah? She said, "Look, my Amir al-Mu'mineen is not watching, but my Rabb is watching. For that reason, I will not do this. Because I cannot be different in front of Amir al-Mu'mineen, in front of him, and then be something else when I'm behind his back. This is not right." Subhanallah, from this, you know, story, from this real incident, we learn so many lessons. And one of them is that when you look for a proposal, when you want to get married and you're looking for a proposal, you should always look for piety, taqwa, and the religious aspect of the individuals. You know, many youngsters who are watching, or maybe parents who are watching, who are thinking about getting their children married. You know, you have loads of things in your mind that, you know, when I get married, when I get my children married off, you know, I look for so many qualities, so many things. You have like a wedding list that you want to see in the match that you are looking for. But no, we should always look at the lives of the pious Muslims, the great Muslims of the past, how they lived their life, and how they have set the examples of marriages, and we should copy that, inshallah. So we can get more blessings in our marriages, inshallah. But before I continue the topic, because we talked about Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I want to shed some light bit of on his biography. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was born in Madinatul Munawwara in 61 or 63 Al-Hijri. He gained his knowledge and he practiced the ilm in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. SubhanAllah, not only Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a great scholar of Islam, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a tremendous amount of respect for knowledge and scholars. And just to give you an insight, how much he used to love the ulama. There's a very famous saying of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that once he states that if it's possible for you, then you should become an Islamic scholar. And if this is not possible, then become a student of knowledge. If you cannot do this, then have love for the ulama, for the scholars. And even if you can't do this, if you struggle to have love for the ulama, you can't gain their company, then at least do one thing. And he says that at least don't have hatred for the Islamic scholars. SubhanAllah, look at the message, look at the teaching of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that first you should try to strive to become an Islamic scholar. If you can't, then at least become a student of deen. Always keep yourself busy in search for knowledge. And then if you struggle to become a student of deen, then at least have love for the ulama, the scholars, have respect for them, love them, honor them, no, look after them. If you can, meet their needs, whatever they are struggling in life, if you should be there for them. And even if none of these things that you can do, then at least do one thing. Don't have hatred for the ulama. This is really bad. SubhanAllah, what a beautiful message from the life of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at the age of 25, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi became a governor of Makkah, Medina and Taif. And subhanAllah, the next part I'm going to mention with you, please listen to this carefully. After the death of the Khalifa, Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik, at the age of 36, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu became the Khalifa of the Muslims on the day of Friday. The age of 36, subhanAllah. And he, subhanAllah, what a great leader of Islam. He performed his duty as the Khalifa in such a commendable manner that he is known as the second Umar. SubhanAllah, what a great honor to have that. SubhanAllah. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, remained the Khalifa for 2.5 years. And he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, passed away on the 25th of Rajab al-Murajab, 101 al-Hijri, on a Wednesday, and his age was around 39. So he became Khalifa at the age of 36, and he was around 39 when he passed away. And scholars say around 2.5 years he ruled the Khilafat. And this is the great, and what he achieved, this is mentioned in books, yeah. But the message that we want to give today is that, one of the key factors, of his greatness is his parents. And the taqwa that they possessed, the fear of Allah that they possessed, the honesty, the religious aspect that they had in their life, that gets passed on to the children. If the parents are such, the daughter is that lady who would not be ready to mix water with the milk, even if the mother instructed her. The mother was ordering her, even then she said, no, I can't do this. I can't, my Allah is watching me. Yeah, if this is the state of the mother, then that's the state of the son, who is known as Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah Almighty elevate his rank, and may Allah Almighty allow us to benefit from his teachings, inshallah. And subhanAllah, another beautiful message that we can learn from this waqiyah that we just discussed is that Sayyidina Umar bin Umar Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he gave preference to the pious lady, gave preference to the lady who had taqwa, who had good, the religious aspect of her life, regardless of her being a poor lady or being from a house which don't have a financial means. Because that lady, you know, the mother was, the old lady was a widow, and they were struggling. You can, from the incident, you can tell, you know, the mother was probably struggling. So for that reason, she wanted to mix water. No one wants to mix water with milk. No, there will be probably reasons for that. And you can tell, you know, that girl was from a poor family. So regardless of her financial means, Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw that special, you know, special quality in her. She is pious, she is religious. For that reason, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu preferred her to be the wife of his son. Subhanallah. You know, from this, there's a message that we need to take on board as well. So when we are in that state, you know, when we are about to get married or we want to get our children married off, what should we do? That's the question that we need to answer today. What should we do? Where do I look? Where do I look for the guidance? And this was something similar that was asked in the court of Sayyiduna Hassan Basri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is one of the famous Tabi'i Buzurg. Sayyiduna Hassan Basri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his court, a man came and asked, "I have a daughter who I love dearly, and she has had many proposals. Many people have come and asked for her. And I love my daughter so much. But I'm confused. I need help. I need guidance. Could you please recommend who should I choose for her husband? Can you give me some suggestions for her marriage?" You know, this, before I move forward, just this act itself is a message for me and you as well. Now, when you're in that position, that's what you should do as well. Do your own homework. Now, find the match that you think that's the right person for your wife, for your daughter or your son. But then before you make the final call, why don't you speak to an Islamic scholar? Why don't you speak to a Mufti Sahib and ask for guidance? Just the way this young man did, he went in the court of Sayyidina Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi and asked for guidance. It's a beautiful habit that we should really, you know, implement in our lives as well. Sayyidina Hassan al-Basri radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, "Marry her to a man who has fear of Allah Almighty. Marry her to a man who has taqwa, who has fear. For if such a man loves your daughter, he will honor her. He will have so much respect for her. He will look after her. And even if he does not like her for whatever reason, he will not be unjust towards her. Because that person has fear of Allah." You know, a person who has fear of Allah is scared that one day I will stand up in the court of Allah on the day of judgment. And if I be unjust to my wife, if I don't fulfill the rights of my wife, or if the wife doesn't fulfill the right of the husband, then how will I answer on the day of judgment? What will I say to my Rabb? If that person has fear of Allah, due to this fear, he will not be unjust. He will be kind. Even if in life moments come that he disagrees with the wife, he doesn't get on with her, or he feels that, you know, maybe she's wrong, even then he won't be unjust. This is the quality that we should be looking for when we want someone, when we are looking for the spouse for our children. But you know, for us, what happens, you know, we need to understand, when two people get married, it's not just about the bride and the groom, they get connected. Yeah, and they have a life that they live, you know, through the nikah. But there's a bigger picture to this. And the bigger picture is, marriage is such a relationship which leads to a new family being formed. Sometimes within your relatives or far relatives, you get married. But sometimes you get married from really far. So both sides of the families, they didn't know each other. But it was due to this marriage that these external people got involved as well. So it's not just about the bride and the groom. It's about their parents and the brothers and sisters of both sides as well. The aunties and uncles of both sides. So marriage is a beautiful aspect in our life, and we need to consider that. Now, when you get your daughter married off, or you get your son married off, which family are you getting married to? Now, all these things play a role. As these are things that, you know, if they play a very decisive role that if you're going to get someone married or not. Sometimes, you know, the match might be right, but because of the family and their background and their cultures, their lives, because they don't meet each other, especially in the Asian culture. You know, when you get married off, normally people live in the joint family. So it's not just about how a husband and wife live together. Sometimes, in fact, in many cases, it's about how the wife will match up or stay with the family in the house. Because the husband's going to be at work. He's going to be doing 9-to-5 job or whatever shift that he has. He's going to be outside earning money, you know, earning the livelihood. But at home, the wife will have to stay with the rest of the family. And will they get on with each other? So all these things are factors that we have to keep in mind when we get our children married off. However, when we do look at all these matters, there's different aspects that we do look at. And these are some of the things, inshallah, I will mention later on from the Hadith Park as well. But there's no doubt the religious aspect has to be at the front. And I'm going to give you another example. Sayyiduna Kirmani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, who was a great scholar, great wali of Allah ta'ala. And his piety can be seen from this incident that I'm going to mention with you. I'm going to share with you. This individual, this great personality, Sayyiduna Kirmani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, was blessed with a daughter who was beautiful, who was pious. She was a religious individual. One day, the king of Kirmani sent a marriage proposal for his daughter. However, Sayyiduna Kirmani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he thought, I can't see my daughter being the queen. I don't want that. Because if my daughter becomes the queen, then she's going to have greed for the wealth. So he didn't like the idea. Because Sayyidina Kirmani rahmatullahi ta'ala himself was that individual who stayed away from the dunya. He didn't like to be attached with the worldly or the material things. So he said to the king, look, give me 3 days. Let me have a think about this. So he asked for some time, and during this period he went out to search. He was looking for a groom. He wanted someone to so he could marry his daughter off. Subhanallah, his search was beautiful. He went to masjid to masjid searching for a young pious man. Yeah, that was beautiful. You know, he's going to the masajid, he's looking out for the youngsters, he's looking out for someone who could catch his eyes and he could see there's some signs of piety in him that he could choose, he could send a proposal to him. And during his search, he came across a young man who had the nur, the light of worship and piety on his face. And so he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, asked him, are you married? No, just imagine someone just turning up to you and asking, are you married? It feels weird, doesn't it? But look at that. That's what happened to this young man. Yeah. Sayyiduna Kirmani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, asked him, are you married? He replied, no. Sheikh Kirmani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, then said, do you wish to get married to a lady who recites the Quran, who is punctual in her prayers, who is beautiful, and who is pious? This man, who was poor lad, he said, I'm poor. I'm a poor individual. How will this great lady of such piety, such greatness marry me? No, I'm a poor man. Who's going to marry me? Yeah. Subhanallah. And look at this. Sayyiduna Kirmani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, no, I will get that type of lady married to you. He said, take these gold coins, purchase some bread with one coin, and some condiment, some form of a sauce that they use in the flavors, with one, and some perfume with one. So Sayyiduna Kirmani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he gave him some money, some currency of the time, some gold coins. So this young man, he bought those items, and he came back to Sayyiduna Sheikh Kirmani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and the Sheikh married his daughter to that young pious man. SubhanAllah, this marriage took place. The daughter of this great wali of Allah, When she arrived in her husband's house, she saw that there was nothing there in the house. But there was some piece of bread there. In our language, we might say roti, whatever it was in that culture, some form of bread. When she saw that, she asked the husband, "What is this bread?" The husband said, This piece of bread, as you can see, is a leftover from yesterday, which I have left on the side so that I can use for iftar. So when I break my fast." Hearing this, the daughter, you know, the wife, she got worried. She became angry and said to the husband, "Right, take me home. I want to go back." The young man got worried. "Oh, what happened here?" You just imagine, they just got married and now she just got annoyed just by looking at the bread. And the man thought, you know, in his mind he thought, you know, I feared this, that the daughter of Sheikh Kirmani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi cannot stay with me because I'm very poor. I've only got this small piece of bread here. I don't have anything to offer her. And she won't be able to live. She won't be able to stay with me. The wife replied, "I am not returning due to your poverty, due to your state, but I want to go back because your tawakkul is weak.
Yeah.
You are not content with what you have. I am surprised," she said, "I am shocked, I am surprised that my father, he referred you as a pious man. How can you be a pious person who has left some food for the next meal? The state of your trust in Allah is such that you save bread." That shows the daughter, the wife, or the daughter of the wife of this young man, and the daughter of Sheikh Kirmani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, came from that household who would not leave any food for the next meal. This was their taqwa. They knew the Rabb, the Allah who gave us the food, the rizq. Now the same Allah will give us food again. This was their taqwa, this was their piety. Subhanallah, this young man was deeply affected by the new wife that he was blessed with, and he regretted what has happened, and he immediately took that piece of bread and he gave it in the sadaqah. He gave it in the way of Allah. Subhanallah, my dear brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, this is the state of the example that the pious Muslims have set for us when we get married. Now, the time is not giving my side, but I'll try to rush some of the points that we normally have, that when it's time for us to get our children married, what do we do? Let's look at the example of when you're looking for a wife. So when the parents, they're looking for a daughter so that they can get their son married with, what do? Sometimes they look out for someone that who has come from wealthy family. So when this my son or my daughter gets married in that house, and that family has a lot of wealth, they have a big business, they have a big house, they have sport cars, or they have a luxurious life. So they look at this type of materialistic things, so that when my daughter, my son gets married in the house, and then naturally they will get the share as well. Sometimes what happens that some parents, you know, they have like a, you know, in some cultures they have this a wish list, and they put that forward in the in-laws, and they say that, okay, if I want my son to get married in your house with your daughter, then I want you to set up a business for my son. So, you know, they put all the financial burden on the in-laws. And this is not how it should be. Yeah, you know, we need to come out from this. This culture, you know, is harming us, it's tarnishing us. And due to this culture, loads of other problems, they get created in the families, in the marriage life. Now, this is similar style that happens from the boy side as well, from the boys and the girl side. Yeah, you know, we always look for the world and materialistic things. We want you know, we want to, and you know, all these things, you know, if you make a list of the, just whatever shopping list, not shopping list, the wedding list that you've got, if you carefully consider your list, you'll notice one thing. It's possible in that list, there'll be this factor that all these things, they lead to greed for wealth. And that's what you're doing. You're showing greed. You're being greedy for wealth. And this is not the way of life. This is not how Islam teaches us. No, this reminds me of a short statement which I read in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, the commentary of the glorious Quran. It is mentioned that if the wealth of the whole dunya was to be gathered together in the court of Allah, the whole wealth of the world, all the treasures in this dunya, if they were to put together the whole wealth in the court of Allah Ta'ala, this is not even the size of the wing of a mosquito. Mosquito is so small, small fly. Yeah, I know, even my hands, they don't fit into this small gap that I have, I'm showing here. So small. Just imagine how small the wing of this mosquito will be. The whole wealth of this dunya is not even worth the wing of a mosquito in the court of Allah. What are we doing then? Why are we running around for this wealth which is not even worth, you know, it doesn't have any worth in the court of Allah Ta'ala? You know, we need to look towards our akhirat. Yeah, when we get married, marrying is so great, so honorable, there's so many blessings. And we need to make sure we get married in the right purposes, right reasons. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has encouraged us in many examples in which we are told that when you get married, you should prefer the religious aspect of the individual. One hadith park, it is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif that our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, a woman is married for four reasons: her wealth, her family status, her beauty, and her religion. But you should give preference to religion over the other things. Subhanallah. Another place our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, when you receive a proposal from a man who's religious and his character is such that you like, then marry your daughter to him. If you do not do this, then trials and great tribulations will arise on the earth. So from these narrations, we also learn that when the time comes that we want to get our youngsters married off, then we should get them, you know, married off to pious ladies, pious husbands. In the Quran, we are also encouraged that we should get our youngsters married as soon as possible. You know, what happens in this day and age, before the marriage, we have examples in our culture, in our society, where youngsters, they spend time together, they have their relationship before marriage, and sometimes this relationship, you know, it continues for weeks and months and years, and they're committing sins and all sort of crimes. Islamically, they do wrong things, and then they want to get married. Now, Islam promotes us to get married as soon as possible. We should not have relationship before the marriage. In the glorious Quran, we are instructed in Surah Nisa, verse number 3, marry therefore the woman who please you. From this verse of the glorious Quran, we learn that we should get our youngsters married off. From a hadith park, I want to mention some importance of performing nikah. So rather than, you know, just doing, you know, having the ceremonies of engagements where a lot of unlawful things happen, where the man and the girl, when they put a ring in their hands, remember this, before marriage, the man and the woman, they are strangers in Islam. They are non-mahram, they are strangers, they are not allowed to touch each other. Touching each other will be haram. They are committing the acts of haram. And then if parents are allowing this, then they are part of the crime. If the wider family are involved in this, they're enjoying, they're part of the ceremony, and they are involved in this crime as well. So it's very important that we stay away from such cultures that are not Islamic. Instead of that, we should encourage our youngsters, and I encourage the elders who are watching this, get your youngsters married off as soon as possible. Especially when youngsters come to you and they propose the idea of marriage, then don't delay it. I want to mention some beautiful narrations with regards to the importance and the excellence of performing nikah. Our beloved Prophet, the last and final messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is reported to have said, perform nikah and have lots of offspring, for I will have pride before other nations on the day of judgment on account of you. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, those among you who have ability to get married should do so, for nikah lowers one's gaze and protects one's private parts. And the one who does not have the ability to perform nikah should fast, should keep a fast soum, for fasting is a shield for him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said, indeed, the one who performed nikah saved half of his iman. Now he should fear Allah Almighty regarding the other half. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said, whenever any one of you performs nikah, shaitan gets angry. Shaitan gets annoyed and says, ah, the son of Adam has saved 2/3 of his deen from me. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said, 2 cycles of salah, 2 rak'at of salah of the married person are better than 82 rak'at of unmarried person. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. These were some of the virtues and the excellences of performing nikah. At the same time, we understand there is so much emphasis, there is so much importance on us that we should encourage. We should encourage our youngsters, our daughters, our sons to get married as soon as possible. And so, before we go to the conclusion, I want to share another beautiful incident. A very faith-refreshing, heart-touching waqiyah. This event, inshallah, sets an example for us that when we want to get married, when we want our daughters and sons to get married, then this is the example that we should turn towards, we should get lessons from and blessings from, inshallah. This example is that whenever we want to get our children married, we should remember, we should keep in mind the marriages of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We should keep in mind the marriage, the nikah of the noble daughter, the princess of Islam, the heartbeat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidatuna Fatima to Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Sayyiduna Mawla Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We should study their marriage. Look at that example. How did that marriage take place? What happened? Subhanallah, you know, it's beautiful. You know, I want to share with you this waqiyah. The nikah of Sayyiduna Ali with Sayyidatuna Fatima to Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And subhanallah, what a beautiful nikah that took place in history. Subhanallah. That the nikah was of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then that from their children is Sayyiduna Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. Subhanallah radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Sayyiduna, one of our great scholars of the past, Mufti Alama Abdul Mustafa Azmi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, states the nikah of the most beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Fatima to Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, took place in the second year of Hijri. This marriage took place with great honor and simplicity. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu to bring Sayyiduna Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and few other muhajireen and ansar sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. These great sahaba, the honorable sahaba, they gathered in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah. Our beloved Prophet, the last messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, delivered a khutbah. and perform the nikah. Subhanallah. Alama Shu'aib Harifish rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi mentions that the marriage, the walima that took place at that time was that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam gave 10 dirhams to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu from the money that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam had given to Sayyidatuna Umme Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. Sayyidina Ali was instructed to purchase some dates, ghee and cheese with this. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu states, I purchased these things and presented myself before him. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam asked for a dining mat made from animal skin, rolled up his sleeves, and then began to mash the dates with the ghee and then mixed it with the cheese to make a sweet dish. So this sweet dish was the meal on the walima. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Oh Ali, call whoever you wish. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to the masjid and invited the Sahaba, please accept the invitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of the Sahaba stood up and came to that place. Then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, when I told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there are so many people who have come, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam covered the animal skin dining mat with a handkerchief, with a rumal, a shawl, and said, send 10 people at a time for the walima. Thus, I did this. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu continued to eat before, but the food did not decrease at all, to such an extent that 700 Sahaba ikram ate that sweet dish of the walima of the marriage of Sayyidina Ali and with Sayyidatuna Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. Subhanallah. Look at the beautiful walima that took place. My dear brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, the time is not right, is not on our favor to go into depth of the lessons that we can learn from this particular incident. The example that the pious Muslims have set for us, they are the examples that we should be urging to follow. We should yearn to act upon. Inshallah, if we try to follow the examples of the pious Muslims, then there will be blessings in our life. There will be blessings in our households. And inshallah, if our couples, the husband and wife, they are pious, they look after their spirituality, they perform, they act upon the teachings of Islam, and then through them, when they have children, inshallah, you will see the effect of the piety of parents in the children, inshallah azza wa jal. May Allah Almighty bless those individuals who are looking for a proposal, who are looking for the right match. We do dua that Allah Ta'ala gives them the right match that will benefit them in the dunya and the akhirah. May Allah Almighty give them the match that they're looking for, that will enjoin two households, inshallah, will increase and become the means of barakat in two families, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Mubalik for you, it's my prayer. Mubalik for you, it's my prayer. May you keep a sin.